are still firing, Captain.
Computer, analysis. What if we destroy their weapons only and make our escape?
Chance of success, 5%.
How about targeting their propulsion systems?
Chance of success, 3%.
Complete surrender?
Captain!
Chance of success, 70%.
Are you telling me I have a 30% chance of messing up an unconditional surrender?
Surrender requires diplomacy. Have you met you?
What about if I just shoot to kill? Full weapon spread with the goal of destroying their ship entirely.
Chance of success, 95%.
We are on a peace mission. We are not supposed to blow up their ship.
We also did not start this fight.
Computer, compress the last 3 minutes of audio into a file and send it as a transmission. Include whatever data you use to come up with your analysis, so long as it isn't classified. And then fire 3 shots at quarter power at non-vital portions of their ship.
Complying.
What are you doing, Captain?
I am explaining that it is easier for us to vaporize them than to injure them. And I'm giving them one final chance to turn tail.
Commencing firing sequence.
Three glancing blows, all successful hits.
Transmission channels open.
Complying.
Attention. We have officially reached the end of the walk softly portion of this encounter. I also carry a big stick. If you force me to fire again, it will be at full power, and you will all die highly unnecessary deaths. This is your final chance to do things like survive.
Enemy ship disengaging, Captain.
Well, I should hope so.
Now, I'm sure this will come as no surprise.
But Ambassador Golnix would like to see me.
I believe it's more scream at than see, but yes.
My reward for a job well done. What is that? That doesn't sound like any of the alerts.
What is what?
What do you mean, what is what? Don't you hear that?
Captain, nothing is making any sound.
How can you not hear that? It's...
Captain? Captain!
Captain!
Up, phone.
Good morning, Briar Rose. How went the power nap?
REM sleep. Not especially helpful.
You know, the rest of us get by on a little thing called caffeine.
I was hoping to sleep tonight for a change.
And that is what alcohol is for.
And that's why you are a physicist, not a medical doctor.
Seriously, you might want to think about a doctor if you're having nightmares.
Not nightmares. They're not especially frightening. Just vivid.
Dr. Astrid, do you have a moment?
I can spare you several, Nick. We're starting a simulation soon, but until that's up and running, we can probably help.
That's good timing, then. I don't know if either you or Dr. London would have heard any of the company rumors.
She did not, and if she did, she doesn't remember them. I heard something about the board getting ready to sell the company.
That's the old news. We're already sold, actually.
Seriously?
Wait, what does that mean?
Relax, no need to worry. The new owners aren't interested in making any cutbacks. They seem to have pretty deep pockets, and if anything, they're looking to see which projects need additional resources. I'm sure there'll be more specific audits over time, but for now, they just want a general overview of what your project does.
Nick, you've worked here for longer than I have. You seriously don't know what it is we do?
I have a vague idea, but you don't want me trying to explain your work. I'm a bean counter who works for scientists. They need an explanation a layman can follow. Hopefully, between the three of us, we can make that happen. So, you're working with Dark Energy?
No one was working with Dark Energy. At least, not on purpose. No one really knows what Dark Energy is.
All our observations lead us to believe that the expansion of the universe should be slowing down, or, honestly, to have stopped already. But it isn't. It's continuing to speed up.
And that's being caused by dark energy?
Well, yes, but only because we define it as such.
I don't understand.
No one does. Something is speeding up the expansion of the universe. We call the force that's causing that dark energy. But we have no idea what that force is. Whatever it is, we're calling it dark energy. So, by definition, yes, Dark energy is causing that acceleration. But it's not an explanation. When we understand what it is, we'll probably call it something else, if we don't already have a name for it.
So you're experimenting to try to figure out what dark energy might be?
No. I'm seeing if we can use it.
Use it?
Sure. I mean, we're light years away from doing this, but dark energy moves stuff. So, if it can move planets and galaxies, why can't we use it to turn a crankshaft?
You can do that?
That's the point of the experiment, to find out.
But how can you possibly use something when you don't know what it is?
Because I don't have to know what it is. I just have to know what it does. Look, Newton had no idea what caused gravity. Frankly, our understanding of it today is still a little shaky. But Newton didn't need to know how gravity came into being. He just needed to be able to measure what it was doing. The ancient Greeks thought fire was a fundamental element of existence. They were completely wrong about that, but they knew how to use a torch.
So you're going to find out a way to light a torch?
And hopefully not burn the building down while we do so.
Is that likely?
It's a risk, but in the entire history of the world, no house has ever been burned down by dark energy.
That we know of.
Now you're getting it.
That wasn't meant to be encouraging.
Good. It wasn't. Do you have what you need for your summary to our new masters?
I suppose I can put together a draft in the broadest terms. You'll check my work for errors before I submit it?
Gladly. Anything else?
Aspirin?
Harry?
Here. I need them after talking too long about what we're doing here, too. You're not alone.
That actually helps. Thank you. So if you do find a way to move your crankshaft or whatever, how will you know it's dark energy doing the turning?
Rule out everything else. Technically, if I can get an unknown force to start moving an object, I don't care if it's the same unknown force expanding the universe or not. Again, though, that's years from now. For the moment, we're running simulations to see if we can figure out a way to locate this energy and redirect it.
Would this be green energy?
Dark green energy? We don't really know until we know how to harness it.
For now, let's see if this is even possible. And then leave determining how to apply it to the future. Hitomi, walk with me.
Is it a far walk, Captain?
You'll be back here in 10 minutes.
All right. I don't like to leave a partially assembled fusion bomb unattended for too long. Or we could stay here?
I like this plan better.
What do you need?
I need you to never... ever leave a partially assembled fusion bomb unattended for any amount of time at all from this point forward.
Oh, they couldn't explode spontaneously. Fusion doesn't happen by accident.
The name of the device is bomb, so you're just going to have to humor your captain on this one.
I'm treating this as a direct order. What brings you by?
I am about to go visit Ambassador Gulnix.
And you wanted to borrow one of my fusion bombs?
I may regret asking this, but why do you two dislike each other so much?
He's the one who turned me off of interspecies dating.
Yep, this is me regretting.
The biological incompatibility wasn't the issue, believe it or not. He's just kind of a pompous jerk.
And now I'm changing the subject as no part of that sentence bodes well. Gulnix is going to make some demands of me. He's going to want to get to our destination sooner than we are scheduled to. I need you to tell me if that's possible.
Sure. Unless you're a stickler for being able to leave again once we get there.
Let's pretend I am.
Then we can't. The only things I could do would be to burn up more fuel and push the fusion generators into the red zone. It would get us there faster, but it would burn out the engines. And I can't say for certain we could successfully leave once we get to planet Grovel.
And there are no adjustments you can make to the engines.
I can make a million adjustments, but remember, they paid someone a lot of money to design the drive of this ship. The Interplanetary Alliance does not want me mucking about with it when I have almost zero qualifications as a designer. But here's the line you can use with Gulnix. I can make a million adjustments to the engines, but not while they're still running. I'd have to take them offline, and nothing I could do would make up for the delay that would cause us.
I think even an ambassador could follow that. Thank you. Good talk. I'll let you get back to the bomb.
Punch him in the face for me.
Okay. my job. Captain of a battlecruiser. I have more weapons under my command than most planets. I'm just not allowed to use them on the ambassador. No. Really not allowed.
Where have you been?
Apologies, Ambassador. I needed to visit sickbay when you first asked to see me.
Were you injured in the attack?
No. I developed some auditory hallucinations. Dr. Bovlin believes I stood up too fast, and that I need to increase my iron intake.
Does that seem likely to you?
I believe in trusting the experts. I'm not a doctor.
But you are a military commander, so why didn't you blast our attackers out of the sky?
You wanted me to escalate matters?
Things have already escalated, Captain Astrid. The Grovellans have asked us to intercede on their behalf, and the Alliance has told us that we have to do that. The Grovellans are less intelligent than almost any other race on record, but they meet all the criteria for sentience as defined by interplanetary treaties. No small amount of proof of that came when they managed to broadcast that request for intervention.
I understand, Ambassador.
And you also understand that what the EGEC are doing to the Grovellans is criminal, malicious, and generally the stuff of nightmares. In your language, the word might be inhumane, but that leans a little too heavily toward your own species' bias towards itself.
Then why don't we use the word evil? I think that covers things nicely.
So obviously you do understand what's happening. Then will you kindly explain why you didn't pulverize that EGEC ship? Just because they're humans doesn't mean you should treat them any differently.
I'm going to stop you now, because if I let you finish, I might have to resign my post. First, my loyalty is to the Interplanetary Alliance. EGEC is a consortium. About 200 years ago, they were a private entity which took some of the earliest steps in deep space exploration. They're not part of any human governmental system. They extract resources, generally from uninhabited planets. This time, they found a planet that isn't uninhabited, but they're refusing to acknowledge that. The Alliance is sending you to talk them out of this course of action, and they're sending you in my ship to make it clear that force is an option if they choose not to.
It would be much easier to prove that force is an option if you would have used some.
And it would have been much harder to use any other option. Ambassador Gullnix, they did not send us here to start a war. They sent us here to prevent one.
EGEC won't go to war. They don't have the resources to fight with the Alliance.
You're a lot more confident about that than I am. They've been largely doing their own thing for nearly a century. I have no idea what kind of resources they possess.
The bottom line, Captain Astrid, is that when all of this is over, someone is going to look at your failure to fire on the EGEC ship and believe it was favoritism toward your own species.
Anyone who studies human history can figure out we're better at killing each other than we are at almost anything else. Besides, regardless of how it looks...
No! The phrase, regardless of how it looks, never, ever applies to diplomacy. Do you understand that, Captain?
Are you ordering me to fire on the next EGEC ship that attacks us?
You know I can't order you to do anything. I'm trying to explain
how to do my job! Yes, I get that part. I made my call and I stand by it. If you have a problem with it, file a protest with the Alliance. If you're not willing to do that, stop backseat driving. Is there anything else?
You are insufferable.
And you are a pompous jerk. And we have to work together anyway. So I suggest you start using some of that diplomatic training of yours to deal with me. Fair warning, I haven't gotten any such training.
Obviously!
Captain?
Corona? What is this?
Hot cocoa, sir. I had the mess whip up some for you.
And you did this because...
Because I have also had conversations with Ambassador Gullnix.
Thank you. That's considerate. I didn't know your species knew about hot cocoa.
Frankly, it's repellent to most of my people, but we're talking about you now.
Well, thank you. That's hot, hot! Oh, that's... Ow!
Hey, honey. Honey.
I'm okay. I'm sorry. Sorry to wake you.
Another dream?
She burnt her tongue. It woke me. I can still almost feel it.
You mean you burnt your tongue?
No, she's not me. I mean, I see the dream through her, but Captain Astrid...
Captain Astrid isn't you, Dr. Astrid.
No. At least, she makes her own decisions. I'm not in control of anything she does. I can feel her world, smell the recycled air in the ship. But I'm just sort of along for the ride.
You could see a doctor.
I don't need a doctor.
You're not sleeping through the night. You haven't in days.
It's not a great time to make a doctor's appointment. Maybe after this week's set of simulations, but I can't take time off of work now.
Make the appointment. It can be for next week or next month. If nothing else, I know I'll sleep better if you've made an appointment.
That is a reasonable request from the man who loves me.
Hey, I gotta keep you around. I'll never be a space captain's husband again. Good night. Are you wearing chocolate lip balm?
No. Why?
Thought I tasted chocolate. Not important. Good night.
This is promising.
You are underselling yourself.
One simulation with good results is not science. It's a pipe dream.
But if it's right...
We don't know that.
The next simulation isn't looking that different so far.
But that's still in its early stages. And even two simulations isn't...
Can you just be happy? Is that an option?
No. I'm not getting my hopes up until the last possible moment. Because the sooner I get my hopes up, the worse it will be when fate kicks me in the teeth.
Now who's not being scientific?
Oh, good. You're both here.
Morning, Nick.
Dr. Amy Astrid, Dr. Harry London. This is Jaina Tambor. She's from corporate.
Well, that's a terrible way to introduce anyone.
You're with the new owners?
I am. This is just sort of a hello, nice to meet you, we don't really bite sort of thing. I read Nick's summary of your work, and I could already tell nerves were running high.
That's probably just Nick.
I'll bite the bullet and say it was me as well. I can't imagine this work looks good from a business perspective.
It looks like a long shot. Odds are good that this won't work at all, or at least won't be practical. That's all true, but we're a diverse company with our hands in a lot of projects. When you've bet on all the sure winners, you can afford a long shot or two.
You think it's unlikely to pay off, but you still want to support it?
We do, yes.
I've seen the annual report, Dr. London. EEGAC has the funds to back a few unlikely ventures, particularly if they could eventually pay off as much as this project has the potential to.
Exactly. A whole new energy source. Potentially a whole new force of nature. That's a big payoff. But please, let's get rid of the alphabet soup. We used to be an acronym for Energy Exploration and Global Applications Corporation, but the marketing boys wanted us to rebrand. Officially, we're one word. EGAC.
You have been listening to Dreams of Another Woman's Star, Episode 1, Dark Green Energy. Produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Captain Astrid and Dr. Amy Astrid were Andy Gastingi. Karana was Jill Wenzel. Computer was Liz Music. Dr. Harry London was Aaron Manka White. Nick was Rick Tennant. Ambassador Gulnix was Andrew Dell. Hitomi was Rebecca Scheimer. Anthony Astrid was Adam Gastingi. Jaina Tambor was Brianna Kubi. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you later.